So at this point, Amelia, our 5 o'clock session is starting right on time at 5:20. Can you do roll call for me, please?
Director Booth.
Present.
Director Butler.
Here.
Director Jacob.
Here.
Director Beatty.
Here.
Director Wolf.
Here.
Thank you.
I make a motion, consider adoption of the agenda. Can I have a second?
I'd like to move items 3B and 3C and deal with them separately as opposed to on consent, please.
Okay, give me one second. 3B. 3B. And where's 3C? So I'm going to make a motion to, on the consent calendar, to have item A on it as a consent calendar, and then we'll address 3B, C. Can I have a second for that?
With those modifications, I'll move the agenda.
Thank you very much. Roll call vote. Director Booth.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Jenko.
Aye.
Director Meade.
Aye.
Director Paul.
Aye.
Thank you.
Moving to item 3B, bills paid listing.
You need to do 3A first, don't you?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Consent calendar.
3A.
I'll move 3A.
Okay, so then Director Booth made the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Director Mabee. Discussion or roll call vote?
Roll call, please.
And that's for 3A. Roll call, Director Booth.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Jacob.
Aye.
Director Mabee.
Aye.
Director Paul.
Aye.
Very good. Let me get us there on the... I'll let you get this consent calendar. And now we can see the bills paid listing.
Yes, so we're at item 3B, Director Booth.
Can you give me a second?
Yep,
no worries. Scroll there, please. Damn it, come on.
Come on.
God dang it. Technical difficulties here, excuse me. I miss a mouse.
Yeah, you gotta have a mouse.
Well, I think Amelia will agree, but it's a different mouse.
So I have just, there's several entries that, and I think maybe some of this is somewhat addressed in another document after the check listing.
Yeah.
But as we've discussed in some meetings recently, I'm concerned about our ability to match up our expenditures to our general ledger and fund items. So I just, maybe some background on a few of these higher expenses. Check number 0011456. On September 6th to Sacramento Metropolitan Air Quality Management District, not quite $21,000. What are we paying that body for?
That's some of our annual fees for.
Right. Thank you, sir.
That looks like some of our annual fees that we have for our various generators and things that we have to pay the Air Quality Management District.
Okay. A few items below that, County of Sacramento, in the amount of $20,475 and change. What's that for?
You looking at me?
Do you know that one?
Yeah. Not off the top of my head. It's probably some kind of a permit fee. I don't have any more information other than the name.
Yeah, this is a, I can answer this one. This is a payment that we have to make for the use of the Kiefer landfill.
Okay.
Oh. That's probably what that is.
And is that an annual amount or a quarterly amount or a monthly amount?
Annual.
Okay. Amelia, you were shaking your head no?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
11471 to Lumos and Associates, 19,000, almost 20,000.
That is the progress on our CIP/rate study from our consultant Lumos and Associates.
Okay. 11478 Richardson and Company, $19,000 and change.
That is our payment to the auditor for their work on the 2021, which they concluded is about 90%.
Okay, I recognize that name now. Thank you.
California Waste Recovery.
11488 Univar. What's Univar doing for us? $7,000 worth.
Those are chemicals for the water treatment plant.
Okay. California Waste Recovery Systems, $105,000.
Yeah.
It's our garbage bill.
The trash collection service. Oh. It's a contract.
And that's
monthly.
Covers what period?
A month.
A month?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's quite
and that's passed through, right? That just comes to us from
Cal Waste.
From the but the customers pay that bill, right? And then we just pay Cal Waste?
Include the cost of trash collection on our statements and collect the resources for that, and then we make the payment to the trash hauler.
Okay. This one, I guess, actually self-evident. Wagner and Bones Signori Consulting Civil Engineering, $9,000. What are they doing for us?
That's our water rights expert.
Okay. Is that a regular or a one-off cost?
That's a one-off cost. They work for us as needed.
And what work did they perform for $9,000?
Well, they are applying to utilize a change of use for one of our water rights that we have currently. That water right pumps out of the Cosumnes River and is utilized currently by the country club. Currently, it has been brought to my attention that water right only covers this very, very small area, part of which is Clementia, used to be for sheep. So we're updating that water right use to include any watering within the bounds of Rancho Marietta. And that cost was brought to the Improvements Committee.
So that's part of the permit renewal or modification process?
It's a permit modification.
All right. The next one's self-explanatory.
Intelligent Technical Solutions. I have that one on the next
I have
page.
A couple of. Actually, they're listed twice for the same amount on the same date. Check 11505 and check 11516, both on 928 to Intelligent Technical Solutions LLC in the amount of $14,760.16. Now, there is an asterisk. Was the first check voided? Is that?
That's exactly right. All the ones by the asterisk, okay. The check was voided.
And so that's our IT consultants, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, that's all the questions I had. Thank you very much on that item. Do we need a motion to accept that report? Or
I had one more.
Oh, go ahead.
Wagner and Bonsignor. Consulting civil engineers, what do they do for us?
I just mentioned that.
Oh, yeah, that was the water rights.
The water rights people.
They're on the other side, too. Okay, yeah, they are.
Oh, was there two of them?
Sorry.
Mr. Merchant.
Hi, I just one question, Tim, if I might.
Yes.
What's the permit number?
I don't have that off the top of my head.
Did you get that one for me?
Yes, I can do that.
Okay.
Send me an email to remind me.
Okay.
Thank you. I think I do have to, because we asked for a roll call vote, so I make a motion to accept consent calendar item B. Can I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Director Booth.
I'm sorry, what is B?
It's what we were just talking about.
The expenditure list, the check list of
checks. The checklist, okay, gotcha.
The bills listing. Go ahead, Amelia, please.
Director Booth.
Aye.
Director Weather.
Aye.
Director Jenko.
Aye.
Director
Maney? Aye.
Director
Polk? Aye. Item 3C, approval of amended resolution R-2023-14, approval task order number 2, Atkins Engineering, amount of $72,631, and amending the fiscal year 23-24 budget and appropriation funding. So I'm open.
So I asked to have this one separated from consent because, as you may recall, when this item first came before us in August, I opposed it. I communicated with the board via an email, which is part of the packet tonight. I'm still opposed to that, and I wanted this separated so that I could cast a no vote.
Okay. I'll open up the board. Any other comments on item 3C? Amelia, a roll call vote, please.
I need a motion, sir, to...
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, you're right. I'll make a motion to accept item 3C, if I could have a second.
Second.
Thank you very much, Director Jenko. Roll call vote. Director Booth?
No.
No. Director Butler?
No.
Thank you, ma'am. Director Smith?
No.
Aye.
Director Mabee?
Aye.
Director Paul?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Moving to item number four, staff reports, general manager's report. Before you start, Mimi, point of order, and I just didn't double check it, Mr. Ramos. I want to advise the rest of the board that the ad hoc committee is terminated. Our scope of why we had it, all that criteria that the board gave direction has stopped. We've terminated that. So formally, I want to report out. I was going to do it under the general manager's report because I didn't do my due diligence and make it a line item. So I don't know if this accepts it or if we have to get it on the agenda for next month.
I don't believe there's any formal action needed to dissolve the committee once its mission is done.
Okay. And so for the board, the expectation of what the ad hoc committee, which was Director Pohl, myself, during the transition has been met, so we've terminated that committee. I'm sorry, Mimi, go ahead.
No problem. Okay, so starting with customer service improvements, staff hosted 9 training sessions on September 26th to the 28th to demonstrate the new billing website and to assist customers with the transition to automated bank draft bill payment. The new website allows customers to see bill history, track payments, and see water usage. Staff is working to improve and expand direct communication with our customers. We currently only have emails and cell phones for about 14% of our customers. So we are encouraging all customers to send us an email at pio@rmcsd.com with their account number and their email and cell phone so that we can interact more directly with them. We have a new statement format that's expected to be ready for the 1025 billing cycle, and it should eliminate the confusing dual column format that was implemented in April. We are returning to a look and feel of the old statements, which more clearly laid out the statement date and other information. We look forward to customer feedback regarding the new format. With regard to staffing, the district has filled the position of Director of Finance and Administration and looks forward to welcoming Mark Matalich to the team on Monday, October 30th. Mark has been a CPA for over 20 years and is joining the district after many years of distinguished service as a controller for multiple organizations. Staff, on a different topic, has not yet fully reconciled all sick leave credits due to other obligations. Regarding the finances, the 2021 CSD audit has 1 to 2 outstanding items that are proving difficult to unravel. They're basically audit adjustment account entries. The attached report outlines the 2 remaining items and the long list of items already completed, and staff are working with the auditors to address these issues in the next few weeks. Go ahead.
Oh, no worries. Man, you were on a roll. I just want to go back to staffing because you didn't look up.
Okay, sorry.
I just want to confirm every employee has been met with, and they understand the process, all those things. Even though we're not 100% there, we've met with everybody, whether they agree or not.
On vacation.
Right.
Vacation leave credits. Yes, okay. Vacation is done.
Okay,
yes.
Perfect.
So besides vacation, what is their sick leave?
There's sick leave, there's personal holidays, and for the unrepresenteds, there's admin.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but we've met with everybody,
Yes, I sat down personally with everybody.
I didn't mean to stop you. Don't look up. Just keep going.
Don't look up next time.
Okay. Going back to the finances, included in the packet is a high-level first quarter budget to actual for the current fiscal year, which is 23-24. And it shows our spending on track and slightly lower than budgeted. And staff is working to produce a more granular budget to actual in coming months as we fine-tune labor cost coding so that all of our expenses are accurately aligned with the appropriate enterprise activity. And just I want to do a sidebar comment here just with respect to your question, Director Booth, about the proper coding. In the green and white budget to actual, that's a high-level report, but it includes, for example, I guess on page 22, under 400-4300-01, those waste recovery expenses. So all of those charges that are on the direct bill report are captured in here, and probably next board meeting will transition to pulling that information out of this so you can actually see to what enterprise fund that expense will be charged going forward, because that's an easy thing for us to do with our new system. Okay, we didn't have any exams taken, so we don't have any exam pass information. Regarding operations staff is organizing the Thursday, November 2nd Integrated Water Master Plan Town Hall, which will be held at the Murrieta Room of the Rancho Murrieta Country Club. And that's actually 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Director Booth will serve as the meeting facilitator, and staff are working to gather and publish all questions from the March Town Hall prior to the November event, and has developed a specific email for community email to receive community questions from this event. And all our questions that we receive and responses will be published on the district website as part of FAQs questions regarding the IWMP.
Mimi?
Yes.
If I can just stop you there while we're on the town hall for a second. Go ahead, Director Booth.
Thank you. I have two questions with regard to that. With regard to the specific email, how will that be announced to the community, or how will that email access be announced?
Michael, do you want to address that one? We've got a quarter page ad, I believe, that we just put out that includes the email.
I think it's on the ad. We can present that at the presentation as well.
It is on the ad, and the ad has already been posted on Facebook and our website.
Is that in today's River Valley Times?
The one on the 27th.
Okay, I guess I missed it. I didn't see that.
They come out Friday now. Gail can correct me if I'm wrong. And it's every other Friday, so the next one's the 27th.
So it'll be the
27th of October.
Yeah, that's
it will appear.
Okay.
Okay. So a few days before, and then related, and I'm maybe jumping ahead a little bit. I know that Mr. Merchant submitted communication to the board. It's in our correspondence in tonight's packet. He also raised a number of questions, and I would like to recommend, if at all possible, that we also post those questions and answers in advance of the November 2nd meeting. I think that would be very instructive for our folks that are concerned about what we're doing with the water plan.
And staff met today on that topic, and that's our intention, is to get it done by November 2nd.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
No.
Okay,
thank you.
Director Butler, do you have? Nope. While we're on town hall, if you would just put under district meeting dates, we've got communications that day, but if you just throw town hall in there, and I know it's out there, but formality, keep going.
Okay.
Don't look up.
Under development, that'll be addressed by Michael at the board meeting, which is now. And security, I'm going to give you your security update instead of Kelly, Supervisor Kelly, because he's taking a well-deserved vacation. Regarding outreach and regional communication, I'm going to be speaking to the Kiwanis Club on November 2nd, and I'm looking forward to more interactions with other community groups in the future. On a separate topic, the camera subcontractor that we used for the Murrieta Gardens has given us a proposal to relocate one camera to put it in a more viable location and put in a receiver that's in a better spot to capture the signals from both cameras. And we have that proposal. I think they were just doing some last-minute changes on it today. And I think it came in under the 25K, so I'll probably bring it back to the board after the fact next okay. meeting. Committee changes. So Communications Committee met on October 10th and discussed the importance of accessible, transparent, and clear communication. Both traditional methods of communication like the pipeline and the website will continue to be maintained, but staff also instituted the message from the GM in the pipeline and, as previously mentioned, is working to gather emails and cell phones in order to establish a direct means of communicating with all residents. Similarly, staff are publishing questions from the prior town hall and will share questions and answers from the November meeting so that all residents can see the conversations and read the district's responses. And the priority is to make it as easy as possible for residents to access information regarding the district's activities. And I see that I neglected to include a little blurb about the Finance Committee, but the Finance Committee did also meet, I believe, that same day, and we basically talked about the items that I included in the financial update, which is the audit and the first quarter budget to actual for 23-24. And I'm willing to answer any questions.
Just a comment in regard to the report that you shared with the Finance Committee and is in this packet as well, detailing all of those punch list items, if you will, from the auditors. I want to commend you for making that part of this packet, because I think it's important, again, for community members that are wondering, you know, why the audit's not out there. The sheer volume and scope of the work that our staff and limited staff and lack of staff have had to produce, I think it's very instructive. Again, I've said since I first came on this board last December, the more information we can share, then the less people have to speculate and fill in the gaps. So thank you for including that.
My pleasure.
Go ahead.
Okay, I don't know if it belongs here or not, but it has.
Well, let's give it a try.
It has to do with committee meetings. We canceled a lot of committee meetings in the last month or two, and for myself personally, in spite of my gallbladder surgery, I still was able to meet all of them except one. I don't like canceling committee meetings. I think that that's where work gets done and where information is transmitted, etc. And I know maybe you only have 10 minutes worth of conversation to talk about, but I think it's important to keep committee meetings, and I also think it's important to make a decision. Are we having it the first month, first of the week of the month? Are we having it the second week of the month? When are we doing it? And I know there's always reasons why things get changed, but that's just my thing. I'm a believer in committee meetings. I'm a believer work gets done in committee meetings, and I don't think we should be canceling committee meetings. Just, I mean, if you only have 10 minutes worth of stuff, so you only have 10 minutes worth of stuff. But, okay, that's my take on that.
Okay. Continue on.
That's all I have, I think, for the general manager's report.
Okay.
I can segue to security.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All righty. So I'm pinch hitting for Kelly here, and he's got a large report to share. The security group currently has 8 full-time gate officers and 3 part-time gate officers, 3 full-time patrol officers, and 3 vacancies. There were 90 patrol shifts in September, 30 of which were not covered. They were able to get the new Toyota truck outfitted with lights as of last Friday. And the effort to get a camera system installed at the North Gate Wash is just waiting on power. And RMA indicated that they would assist with that after they finished their work with Summerfest. So we're expecting that to get underway. There was an RV crash at the South Gate some time ago, and those repairs were completed. They were in process when we wrote this. And then there was an outage of the far right residence gate at the North Gate, and it had a memory board failure, and that has since been completed. And one of our gate officers actually completed a particular type of firearms training that would make him eligible to apply for a patrol office if one becomes available. And then we received one complaint about the driving habits of a patrol officer. I forget if he was speeding or if he rolled through a stop sign. Sorry, I can't remember.
Either one.
Yeah. Okay, and then the security group continues to work with the RMA leadership on a regular basis. Their focus is to improve their level of service and have positive contact with residents. And then we've got a list of the different things that they're working on, their general non-architectural rules enforcement. The security is attending the RMA compliance meetings. They met with Troy of RMA maintenance regarding the camera system needs, and also with Chris Smith regarding parking and vandalism in restrooms. And I don't think I'm going to go through the extensive list of violations here, but you can see kind of some trends in terms of different activities. I'll move on to the gate entries. It looks like there were a total of about 16,400 gate entries when you combine both gates, and that's slightly up from August, which was about 16,280. And there were 58 denials at the gate entries for a variety of reasons, and that was fewer than the month of August. And there's a breakdown of the cases of incidents that the staff responded to. And then there's a note about activity that occurred in September that was kind of, I think, emblematic of some of the types of issues that security staff is dealing with these days. And this one in particular happens to be about a stranded juvenile in the north. And CSD security was dispatched because of this report at almost midnight, when a young woman, a 14-year-old, was knocking on a resident's door, was lost, and didn't know how to exit Rancho Murrieta. She indicated that she had arrived with her friend over 24 hours before at 4 p.m. on Friday on a school bus, and had hung out with friends and got separated from them and ended up at the reporting party's residence because she was lost. The juvenile could not remember her friend's name or address in Rancho Murrieta and stated that her parents could not pick her up and wanted a taxi home. The security transported her to the North Gate and contacted the Sheriff's Department, which then contacted her parents, and they came and picked up the individual.
Boy, if I was a parent, could I find holes in that?
Yeah. Any questions on either of those? I believe it's up to Michael.
Okay.
Thank you, Kelly. Morning. Good evening, everybody. I'll try not to look up. Water treatment plant facility, plant 1 and plant 2 are both in operation, currently producing potable water at a rate of about 2 million gallons per day. As of September 30th of this year, the cumulative water production for the year is 402 million gallons, with 61 million gallons used in the month of September. The stop logs were removed from all three reservoirs as of October 3rd. The total water currently stored between Clementia, Chesbrough, and Calero totaled just over 3,000 acre feet as of October 4th. The district utilized Solitude Lake Management to treat a section of Lake Calero that was exhibiting mats of algae containing cyanobacteria. The treatment was successful and the algae mats have receded. Additional samples have been taken to verify the eradication of this offending algae. We have yet to receive those samples back.
Was that under our contract with Solitude?
Or yes, that's correct. That's probably one of those Solitude costs that you guys saw in the financials.
Go ahead.
All right.
Michael, if I may, on the Clementia storage, it shows as full. Did we pump any water out of the Cosumnes River into Clementia this season?
I think we might have pumped a little bit, yeah. Now, it's you will notice that it's 101% full, and we've pulled the stop logs. There's a little bend in the equipment that you place the stop log in, and that little bend holds about
1%
over the.
would you please report back to me whether we actually pumped any water from the river into Clementia, and if so, how much?
Yeah, I can make a note of that.
Thank you.
For the
most recent season when we were able to
oh yeah, this
November 1st.
This no, but so I'm talking about the past season through April. Yeah,
I'll just give you something for the last calendar year.
It's fine. Thank you.
Make a note of that. You can also get anything further back in history right off the story map. Story map. There's a little table that shows that as well. Okay. Taking a look at the this year's flow graph and compared to last year's flow graph at Michigan Bar, which is the measurement station where we measure the flow for Cosumnes. This year, I actually checked it today, we're about 61.8 CFS in the river.
Still?
Yeah. After November 1, once the station flow reaches 70 CFS, if it does, we'll be able to resume some pumping and potentially have some earlier pumping opportunities depending on what happens with Mother Nature. If you look at the graph in front of you, the brown line, I believe, is last year, and the blue line is this year. And I think a lion's share of that was with those two large precipitation events that we had this last summer, snowpack melting and so on and so forth. So that's looking optimal this year, at least. Let's see, moving to our wastewater facility. I think we're shutting down the recycled water portion of the facility for a few days. The country club currently has its needs met for water, but we will have additional water as they draw down Bass Lake and Lake Levin. Current average dry weather influent flow of the wastewater facility for September was 0.39 MGD. As of the 4th this month, we had 94 acre feet of treated wastewater available for recycled water production. Moving on to the utility crew, I'll just hit some of the highlights. Let's see. We did a number of 811 USA location orders, some of those for the work that's being done by Lund for the, I believe they're moving some of the power lines around. There were 3 homeowners' calls for water-related issues for high water usage. One was an incorrect read from the reread list, and the other two were just high water usage by the homeowner. It was suggested that they potentially check for irrigation uses. Marietta Plata still needs to upgrade the fire service backflow device due to being out of compliance with new regs. They're preparing. Yeah, go ahead.
That is something that they have to pay for.
Who?
The Plaza.
Oh, yes, that's something that they need to pay for. They've been informed that they do need to put that in place. And so there hasn't been any progress on that, but we will check back.
Which number is that?
That's number 5.
Thank you.
There were 2 major water leaks in the month of September. One of these leaks was on Parowan Park. This has been an ongoing issue for the last several months. The line developing breaks behind the curb. And they have been repaired. It was determined that it is time to replace the 2 service lines in this location. We're just going to keep coming out repairing leaks.
So for my clarification, we did a short term.
Yes.
Long term is it's now on our agenda.
Yeah, and we'll be doing that probably next week.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll if everything works out right. Let's see. There was one sewer issue investigated in the month of September, and it was the homeowner that had roots in his lateral. The CCC has been out doing weed abatement. They won't be out the rest of this week, but they'll be coming back next week to continue weed abatement. The raw water line from Lake Convention, the CIA ditch, does still have a leaking valve by the CIA ditch. We have closed the upstream valve to prevent leaking until the repairs can be made. This is on our list of many things for repairs, and will definitely be worked on when the crew can be scheduled out for that on a priority basis. Some of the work planned for October has been done already, but we'll talk about some of it. We've got three water leaks planned for repairs. We have the electrical lines to bury for Basin 5, Lost Lake, to dig trenches for the electrical work. So once we get our ditches dug and conduit installed, the electrician can come in and put in the new services and get that completed. Let's see. The rest of the Grand Lease 4 Bay restoration work was completed on October 9th. They did a really nice job replacing the aggregate base. I'm going to submit those costs to our ongoing FEMA.
Correct.
Let's see. We talked about CCC. The airport meter has been installed. We need to get the we've been trying to get the programmer scheduled to come out, program the meter, update our system, and then we will restore the airport to
their meter.
Yeah, to an open loop system.
Okay. Gail, did you have a question, or is this just a photo op? Or?
Just a photo op. Okay. Everybody's fine.
Yeah. Hey, again, can you do something with this in post op? Okay, continue on, Michael.
Okay. Moving on to capital projects, we had a data gap meeting with Lumos and Associates to identify and supply additional data needed to continue building the infrastructure lists for the capital improvements program portion of the product. And we were able to get them pretty much everything they needed,
okay,
including the GIS stuff that I've had Aurora working on. Grand Lease Safety Project has been reviewed at the 75% level. Comments have been provided to the engineer. We have no update as of yet. The water treatment facility, chlorine gas to sodium hypochlorite, this is currently, it's at 100% design. Staff is in the process of reviewing the 100% design and specifications, and they're going to be updating the opinion of probable construction cost.
Okay.
Now that they have the 100% design. And you all know about the Integrated Water Master Plan.
Wait a minute.
Oh, okay. Please. By all means.
We got money for three things. We got money for Grand Lease. We got money for the water treatment chlorine gas. And there was another chlorine gas part.
Yes, the wastewater treatment plant.
Okay. And so my question is, for instance, the project for the treatment facility is 100% done on design. Grand Lease is 75%. I don't know where the other one is at.
Where are we at
getting this done?
Oh, I can address that.
Okay.
The wastewater. Your questions about the wastewater plant project?
About all three of them.
Yeah. So, like I said, Grand Lease is 75% designed. The water treatment facility is 100% designed, just awaiting our review.
But when and how are we going to get these things started?
Oh, you mean the actual boots on the ground construction?
Yes.
So the board has requested in the past that we get all three of these project designed,
okay,
get the opinion of probable construction costs attributed to each of those designs, and then see how much money we have once the audit's in place, and then the board will be in a better place to make a financial decision. We do have $1.3 million. That's the good news. The bad news is that's probably going to fund 20-25% of these projects.
You have what?
$1.3 million.
Yeah, right.
Placed in our bank account.
We should have asked for more.
Yeah, I wish I could go back in time and
I know
do that. Okay. I wasn't a part of that process. So at our wastewater treatment facility. We did meet again with the consultant, Dewberry & Associates, to review the chlorine tank requirements as provided in the preliminary design technical memorandum. The engineer has provided additional alternative investigations at my request. Staff have also requested that the consultant reevaluate the use of ultraviolet disinfection and compare these construction and life cycle costs to the sodium hypochlorite system. Because some of the costs are getting up in the range of the ultraviolet disinfection system costs, I thought it'd be prudent before we close the door on ultraviolet disinfection altogether that we review that with the other alternative designs before we move into design.
Okay.
Get those cost estimates out of the table. Ultraviolet disinfection is a little bit more modern. There's less chemicals to be used, and if the cost of upgrading to sodium hypochlorite is close to the UV cost, then we should probably reevaluate that.
Understand. So, Director Booth has.
Yeah, I'm sorry I wasn't fast enough, Michael. On the Integrated Water Master Plan, in a discussion early last week, we talked about having materials available to share with the community 10 to 14 days in advance of
yes.
the November 2nd meeting.
Yes.
Do you have any update on how well that's progressing?
Yes. So the what I had mentioned at that meeting is the second story map will be published at least 10 days prior to the event, so people have time to review the information, take a look at the data in time for that. The handouts will probably be available day of, due to time constraints.
And then, as Mimi discussed earlier, we're also planning to have some FAQs
yes.
on the website in advance of that meeting. So a whole bunch of information out there
yes.
in advance. Thank
yes.
you.
Yeah, and I don't know what the timing is going to be for the FAQs. We're close to processing one volume of FAQs, I believe, and then we're looking at that second volume, at least some of the stuff that Mr. Merchant has submitted.
Yeah, hopefully before the second, but maybe next Wednesday, you know, kind of around that time frame.
Okay. Director Merchant, we have instituted a new policy and procedure here regarding public comments. There are forms by the door to fill out and then put in the basket, and then I call you up. It just makes it a little bit more orderly if that's convenient for you.
Okay, I was going to comment on his...
I'll take the comment, but in the future there's...
Thanks. I'll remember now, although I didn't read anything about this new procedure or anywhere.
Well, it's only for
I must
some.
Have missed that.
It's like Martel, there's a handful of people.
Yeah, I get it.
But don't take it personal, yeah. Please.
No,
please don't take it personal.
Believe me, none of this
look
is...
Uphill, get a,
yeah.
get
a, none
go,
of this
go
is
ahead,
personal.
John, with your comment, please.
The one question I had, Michael, on your data that is going to go into the story map, that assesses demand, where does that data come from? Does it come from one place? Does it come from several places? The way I understand you would evaluate usage would be on present demand for present ratepayers, and then on the demand that would be created by
future
demand, which is that 795 units that's sitting down at the county.
That's based on lot sizes.
So what did you, I'm just trying to ascertain where this data has come from.
Well, the current data comes from our actual utility billing.
Yeah, okay, I get that.
So the actual use, and what we did is we took that actual use data and we allocated it per existing lot size. And what we're doing with the future development is we are taking those, we have all the CAD data, all the future lots that are on the books, and we're allocating flows to those per lot size based on the usage that we currently have.
Okay.
Lot size.
Okay.
Yeah,
thanks.
So actual data.
Yeah.
And we're using a an area based lot forecasting, which is probably the platinum level.
The platinum level.
Platinum. You know. Okay. You can, when you do a study, there's different levels of analysis that you can do.
Yeah. So. Okay. Thank you. That's I got what I need. Thanks.
Thank you.
Continue on, Michael.
All right. Moving on to our lift stations. The contractor portion of the project for lift station 3B has been completed, and a successful startup has occurred, and the station is up and running. District staff will be installing a valve box in-house to avoid a costly change order. When we were doing submittal review for the change out for the valves, it wasn't caught that the new valves were going to fit in the old box.
Right.
So the contractor submitted a pretty pricey change order.
Right. You
said I decided
it'd be easier
we
to
could do
in-house.
That in-house.
Okay.
So
thank you.
Good news is up and running, and we're going to start attacking the other lift stations. I'll meet in Starter Shack. I think the engineer's going to be starting design on that fairly soon. Same with Cantobin FAA stations for the emergency power. Lift Station 6B, our electrician has recently submitted final comments on the panel design, and the work is, depending on their procurement, the work should be completed, I'm hoping, by the end of December 2023.
Okay.
Moving on to development, a total of 17 meters have been released per the terms of the interim security agreement dated August 1st, 2023 for Retreats North. Residents of Murrieta Hills East and West, the district has reviewed the drainage study and the rough grading plans for Unit 1, Residence East, which consists of 61 out of 99 planned lots, located in the southeast portion of the proposed development just east of Stonehouse Park. The district provided comments to the initial drainage and grading plans and have received no recent communication from the developer.
Michael?
Yeah.
A question.
I just wanted to say that's the most information we've ever had on that I've seen on residences of the hills in east and west, and so appreciate the fact that we have some actual
numbers
and things that we know are being done.
Okay, thank you. Riverview Phase 2, the only update is the cart path between hole 8 and 9 have been repaired, and no other update. I'm not sure, I haven't heard anything about plans for Riverview Phase 2 as of yet.
Okay.
So we've received nothing.
Okay.
They're not even done with Phase 1.
Very good. Any questions of Michael's report?
Michael, we, I should know this. Last summer we had an intern engineering student. Did we do that again this summer? Are we keeping up that program?
We kept her.
We did.
Yeah, Aurora Rincone has been. She's kind of transitioned into more of a part-time worker. She has been responsible for the good GIS program that we have today. She's been a great help to us. She's gone through all our plans. Check the pipes against what's on the GIS, working directly with CalCAD, our vendor. She's done a great job.
And she an engineering student?
No, she got her degree in GIS.
Wow.
So she's been a godsend to us.
And luckily she didn't go to UOP, but I digress.
See? This is what I put up.
Item number 5, review district meetings. We've actually had some dialogue on that. And Amelia, if you just update the town hall when you get a chance on that. Item number 6.
Mr.
Meany. I wasn't looking up.
Cautionary tale. Okay, so I very unfortunately scheduled myself to be at the Kiwanis on November 2nd. And I know we had to reschedule last month because of your surgery, and I'm going to ask that we reschedule this one as well to the following week, just because this wasn't on part of my automatics, and I apologize for that. But going forward, I'll have that date locked. We're going to do what?
The one on Tuesday. But you want to change Kiwanis, or what do you want?
Well, I can't change Kiwanis because they've already planned for that for about 6 weeks, and I didn't know. It wasn't on my schedule as a recurring thing, you know. So, but going forward, we'll preserve this date of the month.
So, what is your proposed date?
November 8th.
So,
at 8:30 a.m. on the following Wednesday.
So, we went from there.
Yeah.
Does that work?
Sure.
Does that work for you, Director Booth? November 8th at 8:30?
Yes, that's fine.
All right, I will update the calendar, and I'll update everybody's calendars on Outlook.
Thank you. Was that all you had?
Yes, and thank you.
Items?
Yes, go ahead.
I mean, this is really well organized and everything, but it seems that after each, at least for me, after each title, we have, you know, questions. So I was thinking that when we finished, for instance, capital projects, at the end, if anybody has any questions, we just, instead of trying to...
Oh, interrupt them?
Yeah. Well,
yeah, we can do a format change. Okay. That would be fine.
Hold all questions until the end of every staff's comment.
Well, topic or headline or whatever you want to call it.
Give me 1 second, Amelia, please. That way we'll never make eye contact with the GM, but until the very end, but okay. item six, correspondence from Director Booth and John Merchants in the packet. And Director Booth talked a little bit about both of those. Item number seven, consider approval of district policy 2023-01 claims processing. Mr. Ramos, please.
Yes, thank you, directors. This is a proposed new policy for the district in regard to how you handle claims under the Government Claims Act. So occasionally the district will receive a claim alleging monetary damages against the district. This is usually a precursor to filing a lawsuit. The current practice is to bring those claims to the board for consideration and typically rejection. And typically we also schedule a closed session meeting during the same meeting to talk about the merits of the claim in closed session, given that it is an anticipated litigation matter. The issue with the current practice is there's very short timelines that are associated with responding to these claims. And I'm thinking specifically of the Carrie McCormick CalPERS claim that came before you, I think last month or maybe the month before. This is the claim that went to most of my clients, I think every CalPERS agency in California. We had a 20-day timeline to respond to that claim initially, and it fell such that it happened shortly after your board meeting, and so we would have had to actually call a special meeting just for the privilege of responding and saying that the claim was deficient. That's not a great policy in my view, especially when it's something that could be handled appropriately at a staff level quickly with the guidance from legal counsel and perhaps checking in with one or two board members on it. So what I'm proposing is a change to policy for claims handling in the future that's consistent with most of my special district clients. It's a delegation of claims handling to staff who will review claims and approve or reject as appropriate in the future with guidance from legal counsel. And we can certainly, if a claim is significant, we can also bring it to the board for consideration through a closed session as well if we require some board input on it. But essentially, policy 2023-01 is a delegation of authority to act on claims in the future. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, I'll open it up. Board members, any questions, Mr. Ramos? It was pretty straightforward. Go ahead.
So, the delegation of authority paragraph delegates all actions.
Yes.
Which theoretically means an individual could file a claim for $1.7 million and we would have given the general manager the authority to approve that claim.
Under the terms of the delegation. That's correct, yeah.
So is there some in the other districts where you've seen similar policy, are there some sort of parameters or you know, criteria that might be applied where it would require, I mean, I have no trouble at all giving the general manager full authority to deny a claim.
Sure.
And then if somebody wants to pursue it, it's going to come to us anyway. The issue, and again, I don't, it's not that I mistrust our general manager at all, it's just that it seems like we're abrogating our responsibility a bit if we don't set some sort of limit or parameter on the authority to approve without bringing it to the board.
Yeah, and Director Booth, oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I lost my mind. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, Director, your comments are in line with the way a lot of districts treat this. So I have some clients who have the same delegation as what's before you today. I have other clients who have delegations with specific dollar amounts in them, saying can accept a claim up to $5,000, $10,000, whatever is appropriate. Often it's in line with the GM's spending authority on matters anyway, but many of them do have what you say, a limitation on acceptance of claims, and I think that would be fine if the board wanted to impose that as part of this policy.
That,
go ahead.
No, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
The question I had is how many of these claims do we get in a year?
It varies from year to year. Sometimes it's one. In the past, I've handled, I want to say maybe three in the decade or so that I've been working with the district.
Okay, so it's pretty minor.
It's fairly minor, yes. And
so I think if we put a cap on how much, that would satisfy my concern.
Okay. Any other comments from the directors? A thought I have while we have it. Currently, the GM is authorized for $25,000. So if we put a cap of $25,000, and then if we just articulate that, and if the board is good with that, I will make a motion with that edit to a cap of $25,000. So with that, any other questions, Mr. Ramos? I'm sorry. Okay. I'm going to make a motion to approve district policy with the modification of a cap of authorization of the GM's $25,000. Could I have a second, please?
With the amendment, I'll second it.
Thank you very much, Director Boone. Are we ready for a roll call vote?
Please.
Director Boone.
Hi.
Director Butler.
I'm never in favor of this stuff, so no.
Very good. I have recorded a no vote. Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Mabee.
Aye.
Director Pohl.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Amelia. Item 8, I just put on, we've already had a lot of discussion, so I'll probably defer to you, Director Booth. I just wanted on here in case there was any last minute items that we needed. I know, I think it was last week or the week before, we had some discussion, gave direction. We talked about the frequent questions, those type of things. So is there anything else off the top of your head that we need for the second?
With the assumption that staff is already setting up the use of the room, PA, I would suggest that we conduct the meeting, and it would be moderated in a fashion similar to how we handled the rate increase meeting earlier this year, with a microphone up front that people could stand at and be called upon if they have questions or comments that they want to make. I think we're already on track for handouts and to get as much pertinent information up on the website and available in advance of the meeting. So I think we're well under our way for a successful meeting. I'm based on other groups that I know that are soliciting attendance, and there are several in the community. I think we should anticipate a large turnout. Maybe we check in a week or so in advance. Well, we only have a week or so.
Right.
Maybe have some discussion about how many handouts we need to prepare. Maybe a couple hundred, I think, at this point in time. And
yeah, and you know, we're also thinking about putting QR code up, so if, you know, handouts did run out, people can scan the QR code and just...
That'd be great.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
One of the things I wanted to ask your opinion on, Mr. Booth, is last time we hired a sound system, and we didn't really need it, but the time before that, their sound system wasn't...
Right, wasn't, yeah.
We needed microphones.
I'm wondering if we should just hedge our bets.
Mm-mm. Well, you need the one center microphone,
yeah.
Right? And then wherever you're going to have the.
I would just hate for all this thing to get set up and then we have the same two crappy mics. I mean, I'll try to prevent that from happening by discussing it.
If I recall, there was a limit to the number of microphones that
functional
the country club had available.
Yeah.
Chantel did provide some mics. I tested the system in advance of the meeting, and then we ended up with hard lines, so we had sufficient coverage. So I think, you know, at a minimum, I think we need two or three microphones at the panel table, and then the stand-up mic in the middle, and I think we had to hardwire that. I think that issue.
I think we paid like $150 or $200 for the hardline mics there. So if that sounds reasonable, you all...
I just assume pay the $150 bucks to make sure we have... More than the coverage than we need, as opposed to be short.
I don't want to have what happened.
Yeah, so what I would do, Michael, is as you're doing your due diligence, just double check with the country club on what they can facilitate for us, and then again, 200, whatever that case price is, just make it make it happen.
Okay.
Please.
The other item is I wanted to talk about one of the ways that we were viewing it's keeping order for the meeting. Plan was to have, you know, the consultants provide their portion of the meeting, and then have people, the rest of the meeting is dedicated to taking comments and questions, having people line up to come to the microphone.
Or stand up,
Yeah, and you potentially, we may have to limit that to 3 minutes per person until everybody's heard, and then if people want to come back, I want to make sure that we're fair and everybody gets a chance to come up and come up and express what they want to express.
I think some of that might fall to you, Director Booth, in just facilitating the process.
Yeah, and I thank you. I'm comfortable with that responsibility. I think that an eye towards decorum and format. I agree. Introductions, presentation by the consultants, and then maximum amount of time for Q&A or comment. And I think that we ask the members of the public to limit, you know, their time to a question or a brief comment. And I'll just have to exercise some flexibility if it seems appropriate.
Right.
You know,
I just want to make sure everybody gets a chance.
Well, the key is I don't, you know, and I think best of intentions when we did our town hall last March, I think there was a misconnect on expectations, and people in the room early on felt that there was an effort to cut them off.
Right.
We corrected that in the course of the meeting, and I think that we can probably work with some format, and then, like I said, with some element of flexibility, and we'll just have to exercise some judgment in that regard.
Sounds good. Thank you.
That's why we're paying you the big bucks on facilitating.
And, sir, I do have a public comment on this topic if you're...
Did somebody fill out a
did
card?
Did you fill out a form? Come on. Fill out the form.
Just for those in the audience, we don't play favorites. state your name. Oh, no. Go ahead, Gail, please.
Just for the interest of getting a good recording and for me to be able to understand what people are saying, I want to make sure, I'm hoping that you just don't let audience members stand up and just make their comments without a microphone.
No, the expectation, because we found that didn't work so well, even trying to get a microphone to them at the March meetings.
Come up would be way better.
So when we did the rate meeting later in the year, we put a central mic up at the front of the room, and we asked individuals who desired to speak to approach the mic, and that way everyone was able to hear the question, and then we were able to pass the microphone at the panel's table to the person who was the most appropriate responder. So absolutely, and it's not just for your reporting purposes, although I certainly want to facilitate that, it's so everybody in the room knows what's being asked and answered. Yes, thank you, Gail.
And I would also request that you ask everybody to state their name before they speak.
We can ask that, and I will ask that, know.
They can choose not to, but it would be really nice if you request them to give their name.
Well, and it works for us, too, because if there's something that really tickles the back of our brain, we need a follow-up. It'd be nice to know who that individual is. And that's really my concern as well. Thank you.
Gail, before you leave, we're all breathing a sigh of relief. At least we have the RVT for twice a month, and you still have room to make your reports, et cetera. So thank heavens.
Oh, thank you.
You do a great job.
Amelia, cut off the yes. public comment forms right
okay.
now.
Yeah, you can.
You got one up for every item, are you, John?
item number nine.
I do have another public comment form on agenda item number eight. Would you?
Yes, still please. Let's have that one.
Comments, Mr. Gears. I'm sorry. Number 42 is the name.
I'm concerned going back to other meetings that there are people that have a lot to say. I know that John Merchant will have a lot to say. And as members of the public, we want to hear. I mean, he doesn't exactly speak for us, but he raises a lot of concerns that we're concerned about. And we want to give him time to say what he has to say. So I'm concerned about the limit on 3 minutes.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. I'm just going to respond as the facilitator for the meeting. As I indicated, I think that key for us is to not disenfranchise anyone who has a question or wishes to speak by having a handful of folks monopolize the entire discussion. Also recognize that there are some individuals in the community that are greatly recognized by the community at large. As capable spokespersons, and that's where I think the key will be some flexibility, Richard, as I said earlier, and we'll try to find a balance there, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Item number nine, comments from the public. Amelia?
Yes, sir, I do have one duly
did it get
filled
in
out
on, did it get
form,
in on time?
And it was in on time.
Okay.
The name of John.
Yes, quickly, we planted all these trees out front that we stole away from Citrus Heights that were going up there, and they are doing remarkably well.
Yes.
Part of that, and it tailed off when I left the board, we changed administrations, that was supposed to get barked in. And
right. I thought they, and I don't want to catch up,
no,
but
no.
I thought some work was just done this calendar year. So we might have an update for you, John.
Yeah, I can give you an update. We acknowledged your contributions to that in, I think it was July, and we actually had a CCC crew come out, and they evaluated the, I think, 147 trees, and all but one are still living.
Right.
And
right.
then they did indicate that in order for the mulching to occur, we had to lay down weed fabric and do some removal before the weed fabric, and that's sort of on the list of many other
yeah,
things.
As,
yeah,
and it probably doesn't have to happen right away. It's a matter of timing. We're cranking up to do $3 million worth of tree work, a lot of which is going to be inside our gates, and I have had a conversation with Rod that there might be a good diversion there for a lot of that mulch that will come out of that process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like Hastie's, but it will do the job.
Well, the price might be better.
The price will be a lot better. So, you know, and it is, you know, a reflection of who we are out front, and I think it's time that we clean that up a bit as soon as we can.
Yeah, no, understand. And we did have, hold on one second. Go ahead, Director.
When the trees got put in, we were told that once they got over the top of the tube, that the tube should be taken off.
Yeah.
So I was noticing as you come in.
Yeah, there's a couple.
There's
that
a
are,
lot of them.
Yeah, there's a couple that are getting over the top, and they have the arborist from the Conservancy, the guy that works for Kelly Hopkins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Visits out here and evaluates that. I think that we'll leave that call to him as to when to pull them off.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, they remarkably are doing terrific.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like
mathematically, I didn't think we would have that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I just had a question for Mr. Merchant about the
microphone, please, Michael.
Oh yeah.
Did you fill out a RIT form?
I did.
It's called my time card.
It's called my time card.
There's a basket on that side for exactly this kind of question. What can I do for you?
Oh, I was just curious. With your tree plant, it sounds exciting. Where exactly are they going to be planted? Just so we know.
No. These are trees and undergrowth that's coming out.
Oh, coming out.
It's okay. We're clearing out, and the limitation on it is 6 inches. Nothing bigger than 6 inches will come out. There are a host of other restrictions.
Gotcha. So you're not adding a bunch of trees?
No, we're taking trees out as a fire break.
My first thought was like, are you telling these lines?
And that's what that money, that's what that $4.2 million was for.
Great.
And
good.
So it will generate a lot of mulch that we can use.
If I may, I had recent experience with RMA. They actually will provide mulching. I had a tree that had to come down on, actually, my neighbor and I had a tree that needed to come down in the area between our homes. And while we paid a tree cutter to take it down, RMA at a very nominal price came out and shredded it all. I mean, and they could take up like 15-inch diameter stumps and put them through. And I've noticed that there's this huge piles of that mulch out adjacent to Lake Clementia parking lot.
Right, they're dumping it. And as a result of the winter storms we had, he had more mulch than we've ever had.
Well, and they did a whole bunch of that free following the winter storms just to get it all cleared out. Now they're charging. I think, like I said, I had, it was two trees, 11 inches in diameter, probably 60 feet tall. They charged me $60 bucks to shred it.
Long
it would have cost me more than that to haul it to the dump.
As long as you don't give them bamboo. Just don't. You'll pay for that. Yeah.
Thank you, John. All right, moving on. No more public comment slips, Amelia.
I have heard. We have heard all our public comments.
Okay. Item number 10. Director's comments, suggestions. I'll start with Director Booth.
I have nothing to add. Thank you.
Director Butler.
Neither do I.
Director Janko.
I'm good.
Director Polk.
I'm good.
As always, I have something. Michael, just kind of on your radar, a question I threw to Rod Hart. The boat ramp's coming along very well up at the upper lake. My question to Rod was, should we close the other ramps that are there? And he said it would be your call, but just kind of put that in the back of your mind. And again, we can do signage, all those other things. I don't know if there's a seasonal issue, anything, just like you don't have enough stuff. But as that ramp, you know, comes to fruition, mm-hmm. do we still want to have the other access points? No. And it could be we talk to the fishing club and I don't need an answer, just think it through.
I mean, off the top of my head, though, I think that that's something we'd want to talk to the community about.
Right. Sure. Okay. And then the other, and we'll talk about it next week or next month, security with the incident at the equestrian center again.
Oh, wow.
Our staff at all levels don't get the recognition for what we do. We're practically, we are 24/7, 365, mm-hmm. right? So, again, and I speak for the entire board, please echo that down to your respective folks from that standpoint. I'd like to make a motion to adjourn. May I have a second, please?
I'll second.
Amelia?
Thank you, Dr. Butler. Roll call vote, Director Booth.
Aye.
Director Butler?
Aye.
Director Jacob?
Aye.
Director Mayne?
Aye.
Director Polk?
Aye.
Thank you very much.